We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it? I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. This is your host, Mance Rader. This episode's going up on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Evoox, YouTube, on my website, freemanbeyondthewall.com, and on libertarianinstitute.org in the blog section. I want you to check out my book, The Kids Are Not All Right, a meme-enhanced primer on encroaching Marxism in the West. It's on Amazon. It's available for paperback, and it's available for Kindle. If you choose the Kindle option, you can have it in a couple seconds. Check it out. Some people have asked how they can support the show. Right now, all I'm saying is buy the book. I think you're going to love it. Check out the reviews on Amazon. Check out what people have said on Twitter and on Facebook. Whenever somebody reviews it, I always share it, especially on Facebook. So search Mance Rader on Facebook. Send me a friend request. I will answer it. And you can read what people are saying about the book. I want to give a shout out to another podcast, Jen the Libertarian. She's doing some great things with some 15 to 25 minute episodes. This last week, she was talking about this cultural appropriation crap that we've seen all over Twitter. And I know it's made its way into the mainstream. So she had some great points about it. I think one point she could have made was buy my book. I happen to talk about cultural appropriation in my book and just how ridiculous it is and how it's just an assault on free speech. So let me get into what I want to talk about today. I heard some people on the internet the other day talking about Native Americans and the raw deal they were handed by the United States government. And I think I came up with a solution. I believe they should petition the United Nations for a homeland. I mean, they deserve it. At one time, they had a homeland, but they were forced out to become the minority on their homeland. Why the UN? Seems that everyone universally agrees that the UN should be made the final arbiter when it comes to land disputes. Sure, I hear some people complain how they're biased. I even hear them called pro-terrorists. But history shows that when it comes to awarding a marginalized people land they once possessed, no matter how many thousands of years ago, they are the judge and their decision is final. As far as the natives go, I would choose to give them Montana. Currently, the native population in Montana is 6.3%. That's according to 2010 census numbers. But 300 years ago, it would have been 100%. This can't be questioned, and to do so, I would consider you to be racist and anti-native. They deserve their own land. Doesn't every group, especially if they occupied it at one time? They may even have cheerleaders in the national and international press that want them to have this homeland. My plan for their UN petition is simple. Considering they're less than 7% of the population, it makes sense to me that they should be given 55% of the land in Montana. This land would be splintered so that the remaining territory would be discontinuous. If the remaining people wish to visit, say, family in another area, they would have to pass through this new native land. Some may argue, wait a minute, if they get 55%, there will be non-native people left on the newly awarded native land. Obviously, new rules are going to have to be instituted by the new state government for the natives. If those remaining don't like it, they can leave. Honestly, these people are now on foreign land, properly determined by the United Nations, and if they don't want to leave or abide by whatever new laws have been passed, the new government has every right to force them out, even if they formerly owned houses and property on that land. Those now become property of the new government. The new state may have to physically march them out of there. This new government may decide to invite native-born peoples from other areas of the United States to live there, and I think it would be a good idea just to give them the houses that were formerly owned by those people that were driven out. I mean, these people can't understand why a UN resolution would be binding, even if they didn't agree to it, but it is. I mean, they may have considered the UN resolution in the beginning, maybe even all the way up to the final draft, but where did they get off refusing that final draft? The UN is 100% fair, and simple contract law of both parties coming to a meeting of the minds should be put aside in this case. We need things to be fair. Now comes the big question. What if the remaining 93% of the population, what if they decide to get violent and they decide to fight back? What if they reject this decision by the UN, get arms from people that are sympathetic to their plight, and decide to take back their land? As I mentioned previous, the natives have cheerleaders in the national and international press. Maybe, just maybe, reports will start to come out about how the people that were forced off their land and had their houses taken from them were sore losers at best, and at worst, they're going to be accused of committing atrocities. Seriously, where do these people get off initiating violence against the peaceful people that were legally awarded this land? Well, these people that had their property legally taken from them are clearly savages and don't deserve the remaining 45% that they were so graciously given. The natives should just take more of that 45%. And if they fight back about that, they are undoubtedly just animals that need to be penned. So maybe a wall should be built around them with guard posts, and if any come near the fence, the native army should just use them for target practice. The natives should also control these animals' food, water, power supply, and if anyone from outside of the conflict tries to give them help, they should be labeled as supporters of terrorism. I could keep going, but I'm sure you've figured out what I'm describing long ago. If you're clueless, or you heard some stuff in here you think rings a bell, I would urge you to go and listen to episode 85 of my podcast with award-winning journalist Jeremy R. Hammond, who gives a two-hour detailing of the history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict up to the modern day. My goal in doing that podcast was to give a primer of sorts about the history of Israel-Palestine, but it turned out to be way more. It turned out to be seriously detailed. And some people have told me that they've actually listened to this podcast 3 and 4 times so that they can properly understand exactly what's happened in the history of this quote-unquote conflict. Jeremy's book, Obstacle to Peace, The U.S. Role in the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, is, in my opinion, essential to understanding the history of what happened. I would also mention Max Blumenthal's Goliath. He was raised in a Zionist household. He abandoned it and now writes about the things that we haven't heard about. I really don't think I have to bring this up, but the brainwashing in the society is so strong that I have to say this. I don't think right now there are any good guys in this conflict. When it comes to the Zionists and when it comes to the Palestinians, there's one side is willing to do whatever it takes. The other side seems to be fighting for their life and will commit atrocities if they have to. But when it comes right down to it, in this conflict, there is an aggressor, and it's not the Palestinians. I believe that most people listening to the sound of my voice right now would pretty much be in line with these three facts. One, the UN should not dictate policy, especially land disputes. I assume if you're listening to this, you probably think the UN is completely useless, that it's just a power grab for certain groups and no one should be beholden to anything that they have to say. Even if you did allow the UN resolutions to stand, UN Resolution 181 in this instance, contract law is vital. And this is part two. In contract law, both sides have to agree to the terms of the contract or else the contract is null and void. Even if it seems like one side right up to the very end of it is willing to go along with it, if they back out, that contract no longer exists. And the last thing that I want to say is most important. I think that pretty much everyone listening to this right now considers themselves a libertarian, an anarcho-capitalist, a voluntarist. And we would argue to the death that property rights are paramount. That's everything about what we're doing. Everything about what we believe, the basis of it, is private property and non-aggression. Families in occupied territories still possessed the keys to the houses that were stolen from them and given to Zionist families. Unless someone wants to argue against property rights for your progeny, some may make the argument that, well, those houses were stolen. They could have been stolen in 1948, so the owner of that house is no longer there. Do you want to make an argument against property that you would want your progeny to have what you built? That you would want to hand that down? People have made the argument that, well, at one time the Jews lived there, so they deserve to take whatever they deserve to go back there, and they deserve their own homeland. Okay, so can't that argument be made for the Native Americans? Why? Because they're not white? Because they speak English now. I'll try to end this here, but I'll probably talk a little more about this. Check out episode 85 of my podcast with Jeremy R. Hammond, and then research everything that he says to figure out if he's right or not. The disinformation on this subject is strong. Please search it out. Remember, Israel receives billions of dollars of U.S. tax money every year, and they're continuing this slaughter. Over the last 3 weeks, they're slaughtering people. Stories, I shared an article today where an Israeli general admitted that their snipers are just aiming for children. And people tried to, when I shared it and they saw that it was legit, people tried to change the subject to abortion. If you're going to be consistent in your libertarianism, in your property rights, in your non-aggression, please look at this. Please look at this situation. Please look at the last 75 years, 80 years of what has happened. It's remarkable that it seems that the Zionists have so many cheerleaders in the press that are willing to, and Jeremy talks about it in his book, and he points it out in the first two chapters, how one thing would be reported about what could only be called a war crime that Israel would commit against the Palestinians. And when it was reported by the New York Times or the Washington Post, all of that would just disappear, or it would change. Jeremy's book is amazing. You guys really have to check that out. It's eye-opening. And then you look at Max Blumenthal's book, Goliath. I mean, a guy who grew up in a Zionist family and abandoned it because he saw just how evil it is. And recently we've seen Natalie Portman come out and speak out against Israeli atrocities. And we're seeing more and more. They say that young Jewish people in this country are abandoning Zionism, even though they were brought up in it. Think about the parallels I made earlier with the Native Americans. It can't be argued that their land was stolen from them. Some people will argue. I've heard libertarians want to argue, well, they lost it in a war. You're not supposed to be for war. And you're supposed to be for justice. You're supposed to be for restitution. I'm not saying we have to give these people back their land. I'm not saying anything like that at all. I was just using it as an example because it's so clear, especially considering in 1947, for instance, the Zionist population that lived in Palestine owned less than 7% of the land. Yet UN Resolution 181 awarded them 55%. Can you imagine? If you had a piece of land and you were renting, and say you were renting it out to somebody, and then they decided that they were going to keep half of it, that somebody else decided, oh, I think this person is entitled to 55% of your land. How would you feel? Would you fight? If the fight was ongoing, do you think your kids and your grandkids would get into it? Like I said, I'm not saying there's any good guys here. I'm saying I'm saying that in the beginning, when this all started, there was clearly an aggressor. There was clearly wrong done. And there was clearly theft. I'm trying to wake you people up to it. The information is out there. Many people like Gareth Porter write about this every day. Guys, really learn about this stuff, because you have no idea how much money goes to Israel every year. You have no idea that they don't pay for the weapons that that the United States gives them. Combine that with the fact that the overwhelming percentage of Christianity that believes that their eschatology, that their end times teaching, teach them that Israel must rebuild the temple and start sacrificing again, just opens the door for them to forgive any atrocity that the Zionists may do. In my opinion, as somebody who went to church for a long time and who has studied eschatology extensively, I think that this is that view is completely off. Anybody who wants to argue with me on that, good luck. Locked myself up in a seminary library to study this stuff, and you just sit in the friggin' pew on Sunday and listen to what the pastor teaches you. Sure, you may have read a couple chapters and you read a John Hagee book, but so what? I've actually read a lot of books on this, and I've read all sides. And you're wrong. And even if you weren't wrong, you're not allowed to excuse atrocities. I think I'm going to end it right there. This one's a little shorter than normal, but I just wanted to throw this one out there to get people talking, to make people think. And you know, even though it might not be my intention, maybe a little, get some people mad. I don't really care, because I've researched this, I've studied it, and I know that everything that I've said about that conflict is true. So do your own research, and I'll come back real soon with another podcast. So this is Mance Rader, the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. Take care. Have a good week.